Our scripture this morning for our Totenfest festival comes from Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. And it is part of a prophecy of encouragement in the midst of some really hard times. On this mountain, the Holy One of heavenly forces will prepare for all peoples a rich feast, a feast of choice wines, of select foods, rich in flavor, of choice wines well refined. She will swallow up on this mountain the veil that is veiling all peoples, the shroud enshrouding all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The one God will wipe tears from every face. God will remove the people's disgrace from off the whole earth. For God has spoken. They will say on that day, "Look, this is our God for whom we have waited, and God has saved us. This is the one for whom we have waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in the Holy One's salvation." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Amen. Thanks be to God. When I lived in Denver, and it amazes me that I have now lived in Fort Collins almost as long as I lived in Denver, the drive I took to First Plymouth United Church of Christ, where I served, had not one, but two major scenic vistas of the mountains as you came up to the top of Big Hills on Hampton Avenue. It was stunning to watch them each morning and see how they changed with the seasons. I often thought to myself, I live right on the edge of a great feast of beauty, and I'm not partaking of any of its nourishment. My family and I rarely went to the mountains. Busy lives of church and work and school activities distracted us from participating in that particular feast. I guess we feasted in other ways. We went to the beach every summer. I know that so many of you make the feast of our Rocky Mountains a regular part of your lives. Good for you. And I realize now that I always feasted my eyes on the glory of the mountains as I drove to work, and often remarked to my children about the views. Our brothers and sisters of Mexican heritage, as you heard in the children's time, have such a beautiful feasting tradition in their Day of the Dead celebration. They lay out a feast for their ancestors who have died, remembering them with all their favorite foods and those golden marigold petals and candles to light their way home, and envisioning the spirits as butterflies. They do not sanitize their grief or push it away. Instead, they ritualize it with tangible, touchable remembrances. They invite both tears and laughter into their celebrations. Our scripture today brings us healing images of such great feasts. Of a great feast of abundant life served by God on top of God's holy mountain, Zion. And the context for this prophetic healing feast is grief. Isaiah's poetic prophecy is set against the backdrop of the Hebrew people's physical and spiritual devastation after they have been conquered by a foreign empire and seen the destruction of their city, Jerusalem, and its beautiful temple built by King Solomon. Families were pulled apart as captives were taken into slavery in exile. Homes were torn down around the people living in them. It brings to mind some of the pictures of devastation that we have seen over the years from the Middle East. There was death all around. Don't you know that the people felt that God had abandoned them? Death cast a shroud over everything. And that sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? A shroud over everything. I think that is an apt description of our times. After 18 or 19 months of this pandemic, we have felt death, many kinds of death, as an active force of negativity, a shroud, a pall during these months. And we already knew that grief and death were not one-time visitors in this life. They thread their way through our lives in so many ways. We grieve many losses that are smaller deaths, as well as the big deaths of loved ones and friends. Job loss, relationship loss, loss of meaning in the midst of despair or depression, loss of health in a diagnosis, loss of community in a move, the loss of a beloved pet. And then all the losses of COVID-19 piled on top. And the grief of racism came to us with renewed force as we were already grieving so many injustices in our political system and societal systems. Sometimes we just feel helpless, don't we? When we sit in the midst of grief, we are caught up in its grip. We feel disgraced that we cannot lift ourselves up from the mire, that we cannot change the circumstances that cause us or others to grieve. We can feel very alone. Yet, my friends, we are not alone. The Hebrew people were not alone. They had a prophet telling them that God was preparing salvation for them. Salvation as abundant as a feast with fine wines and perhaps with all their favorite foods. Salvation as amazing as wiping away every tear and conquering death forever. Death will be no more. Suffering will be no more. Now that is salvation. While we are caught up in profound lamentation and grief, the Holy One brings hope in the assurance of God's presence and God's ultimate deliverance of all people, not just the Hebrew people, but all of God's people from the power of death. Scholar Christopher Seitz tells us that is what the phrase, God will remove the people's disgrace from off the whole earth, means. All the people, not just the Hebrew people. And I would add, all of God's creation. For we cannot be separate as human beings from creation. We are creation. This is a vision of hope, and the vision we celebrate today in Totenfest here at Plymouth, just as our Mexican brothers and sisters prepare to celebrate the Day of the Dead. On this day, we remember those in our Plymouth family and in the wider communities of our individual lives who have died since the last time we celebrated this day together. And last year, it was totally online, pre-recorded. So it is so good to be with you all this morning. We will speak their names, excuse me, and we will know that we are not alone. We feast with one another this day as we do throughout the year. That is, we companion one another. In an echo of God's companioning presence, using the example of Jesus, God with us, we are with one another in joy and in sorrow in all seasons, in pandemics and in times of health, in times of justice making and in times of injustice protesting. We are not alone, for God, who has the power, is in our community. Grief experts around the world will tell you that the very best thing you can give someone who is in grief is simply your presence. Simply being a companion. So here we are today in the great communion of saints. For we are all saints of God, my friends, not because we are something extra special. Those designated saints of the church by our Catholic siblings were simply ordinary people following God in extraordinary circumstances. And their stories inspire us. But let us recognize that we are all followers of God today as we companion one another and acknowledge the journey of life's mystery that extends through and beyond physical death. As we remember those who have moved beyond us on that journey this year by speaking their names in this sacred time and space, we gather in the company of all God's saints, the living whom we see around us, and those who have moved into the life with God that we cannot see with earthly eyes. One of the early saints of the Christian faith, St. John Chrysostom, says to us, "Those whom we have loved and lost are no longer where they were before. They are now wherever we are." Let us be gathered in God's companioning presence.